Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, GOP presidential candidates continue to slam President Barack Obama, including at AIPAC. They're also blasting him when it came to going to a baseball game at the terror attack in Brussels. Wait till you hear, though, how the AIPAC president responded to the critics of the president. Also, speaking of AIPAC, they would not allow an African-American student from Morehouse to attend the conference because he participated in a protest against Hillary Clinton. We will talk to that student right here on News One Now on TV One. Also, folks, we'll have the results of the various primaries that took place on yesterday, Arizona, Idaho, Utah. How did Donald Trump, Senator Ted Cruz, Secretary Clinton, and Senator Bernie Sanders do? We'll break all of that down for you. Also, there's a new caucus for black women and girls in the nation's capital. We'll tell you about that as well. Plus, former President Bill Clinton, harsh words. Basically, is he blasting the last 8 years of President Obama's tenure? Wait till we break it down. All of that on News One Now, right now.
Thoughts and the prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium, and we stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally Belgium in bringing to justice those who are responsible.
That was President Barack Obama yesterday speaking in Cuba in response to the terror attack in Brussels and it left 30 folks dead. Yet, people are criticizing him not only because of that particular statement, but also because yesterday he attended the baseball game in Cuba between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban national team. That did not sit well with GOP presidential candidates, and they said the president was wrong. In fact, some said he should come back to the U.S.,
In the wake of Brussels, we don't need another lecture from President Obama on Islamophobia. We need a commander-in-chief who does everything necessary to defeat the enemy. And we need to immediately halt the president's ill-advised plan to bring in tens of thousands of Syrian Muslim refugees.
I'm a little surprised that the president is going to a baseball game when I believe he should. Had I been president, I would have cut short my visit. I would have flown home. I would have conducted calls jointly with heads of state and begun to assemble teams of people, intelligence experts.
While our friends and allies are attacked by radical Islamic terrorists, President Obama is spending his time going to baseball games with the Castros and standing at a press conference with Raul Castro as a prop.
And of course, Donald Trump, he always has something to say. He tweeted this, pull it up, please. President Obama should leave the baseball game in Cuba immediately and get home to Washington, where a POTUS under a serious emergency belongs. Now, President Barack Obama didn't seem fazed by the criticism, and he took some time during the historic baseball game between the Rays and Cuba's national team to speak to this issue.
You want to be respectful and understand the gravity of the situation. But the whole premise of terrorism is to try to disrupt people's ordinary lives.
All right, let's talk about this with my panel, Paris Denard, GOP communications consultant, Lauren Victoria Burke, managing editor, politics365.com, David Swerdlick, an assistant editor for The Washington Post. Folks, look, I understand it. I get the whole political game. But the president is right. First of all, the attack took place in Brussels. Earlier, there was an attack in Turkey. Nobody said a word. Is the president of the United States supposed to shut down anytime something happens around the world and race back to D.C. to do what?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's about the optics. And this president has consistently done things, in my opinion, that have not been in the best interest of the optics of the presidency in terms of, something happens with our troops or something happening overseas, he'll make a statement, then he'll go play golf. Or he'll make a statement, something happens in Brussels, a big terrorist attack, and he goes to a baseball game. So it's not necessarily that he's incapable of doing or handling the situation from the baseball game, watching it in Cuba, but one would say, is it appropriate? Should we have a little bit more reverence for what's happening? Mm-hmm. And I think this president has consistently ignored that because I don't think he cares about the optics that he sends forth on certain issues.
First of all, did the president actually make a statement from the baseball game, or did he do it right before his speech when he was dressed in a suit standing before the Cuban government? Second of all,
that's true. He did for a 45-minute speech. He did speak about Brussels for 51 seconds. So you're absolutely correct.
Okay, and so. So here's the deal. We have intelligence gathering. This is an example, Lauren, where the president doesn't need to interject himself into all matters worldwide. This is for Brussels leaders. This is for European leaders to take the lead of something happening in their country.
Well, I do think there is something to be said with regard to what Paris said about optics. I remember when George Bush was president, I kind of felt the same way about the golf thing. It's like you have other years in your life other than these 8 years to play golf. So, and then, you know, things would happen and you'd look at your phone, in our case, look at our phone and see that his schedule said he was on the golf course. And the president doesn't care enough, as much about optics as I wish he would. At the same time, I mean, this is clearly an example of no matter what he does, Ted Cruz and these characters will come out and say he should have done the opposite. So had he come rushing home, I suspect Ted Cruz and Kasich and everybody would come out and said, well, why is he rushing home and letting world events control his actions? You know, I mean, so I don't think it matters what he does. They will take the opposite position no matter what that position is. And I'm not sure what the point of rushing back here was. You rush back and you get the same information that he would have gotten in Cuba. And the fact of the matter is the Cuba thing is a huge thing. It is a big trip. And he shouldn't be seen as controlled by events like that.
Roland, I got to say, it's a clean sweep for optics right now. I feel mm-hmm. the same way. There is a happy medium that the White House seems to miss sometimes. I agree with the president, what he said on ESPN, that you shouldn't rush back and disrupt things and let the terrorists win, so to speak, by upturning the apple cart on everything that he's trying to do. And he can't snub the Cubans by saying, hey, I'm out of here, I got to take care of Brussels now. But there's a happy medium where you can say, look, I'm going to give my speech, I'm going to go to the state dinner, we're going to continue to lay wreaths and do other things to honor our newly formed relationship, but maybe I will sit the baseball game out. Maybe
see,
I won't
here's the
do
deal. I mean, yet. Look, I get the whole yeah. game of optics, but I believe also the president is absolutely right. And that is, first of all, the relationships that we're trying to build with Cuba in our hemisphere is critically important. If you look at the number of times something actually happens across the country, the reaction is always, Mr. President, drop everything, come back home. First of all, wherever the president is in the world, that's where the White House is. Okay, there's a thing called, you know, cell phone, computers, mm-hmm. instant technology, you have all of those things. But also, this wasn't the Boston bombing. This wasn't something that took place
here
in an American
but
city.
Roland, Cuba's in our hemisphere, agreed. It's right off
right.
the coast of Florida. But Belgium is a NATO ally,
yes.
for better or worse.
And also, yeah. and so what, where were European leaders?
Right, no, I don't disagree, but we are the lead dog in NATO.
No, we're yeah. the lead dog in NATO, but did this happen in Europe?
I'm not suggesting that he should have come back to Washington or gone to Brussels.
See,
I do think he could change his schedule.
This is, to me, where Americans learn how to act like grown-ups and go, okay, our president is on a diplomatic mission. Okay, here's my question. Where was Putin yesterday?
Who knows?
What was he doing? I'm asking, what was he doing?
Probably wrestling a bear. I'm not sure.
Okay, where was the Chinese leader yesterday?
Yeah, no, I know. I think, too, that's the other thing.
If I go down the line and mention the top of the country,
precedent of him rushing home every time something happens. And frankly, in this world, we're getting a terrorist attack now like every 3 or 4 months somewhere around the world.
Right.
He'd be rushing home all
and
the time.
And what did the French leader say after the Paris attack?
Probably said something to the effect of, we can't let this change
our
lives.
And he said, resume immediately.
Right.
So it's interesting that how we go, oh my God, shut it down. But the rest of the world goes,
well, see,
you're not going to control.
We is running for president.
Right.
So,
I got you.
The American people have a different set of expectations.
No. Yeah. I think American people need sometimes learn how to grow up. Now, speaking of growing up, the Republican candidate should also grow up. And of course, at AIPAC, Donald Trump took some serious swipes at the president. Here's what he had to say.
With President Obama in his final year, yay. He may be the worst thing to ever happen to Israel, believe me. Believe me. And you know it, and you know it better than anybody.
Folks, that was Trump at the American Israel Public Affairs Committee's annual conference on Monday, better known as AIPAC. Now, they are a nonpartisan organization, but a lot of them were standing up and clapping and giving loud applause to Donald Trump. Now, yesterday, though, AIPAC President Lillian Pincus had an extremely strong response.
From the moment this conference began until this moment, we have preached a message of unity. We've said in every way we can think of, come together. But last evening, something occurred which has the potential to drive us apart, to divide us. We say unequivocally that we do not countenance ad hominem attacks, and we take great offense to those that are levied against the President of the United States of America from our stage. While we may have policy differences, we deeply respect the office of the President of the United States and our President, Barack Obama. There are people in our AIPAC family who were deeply hurt last night, and for that, we are deeply sorry. We are disappointed that so many people applauded a sentiment that we neither agree with or condone.
All right, folks, let's go right to our panel. Clearly, the AIPAC president did not appreciate the attacks on a sitting United States president to a nonpartisan organization.
No, what she didn't appreciate was the fact that the overwhelming majority of the persons that were listening to Donald Trump's speech live stood up and clapped very loudly in support of what he was saying multiple times throughout his entire speech. And so, once again, the optics for AIPAC was, uh-oh, we support and like what Donald Trump is saying throughout the course of his speech.
No, no. In her statement, though, she actually criticized both. She criticized the comments from the stage, and she also criticized the reaction from the audience.
Well, she had to, because when you look at it, AIPAC is bipartisan, and they have a lot of Clinton supporters in that community. And so they had to do what they needed to do because Clinton and President Obama are on the Democratic side.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no. I mean, she was both embarrassed and also, I think, realized after the fact, if on behalf of her organization and herself as the president, that Trump had taken his remarks too far. There's obviously ways to criticize President Obama
right.
on policy without trying to mock him in that setting. But if I can just add one thing here, Roland, which is that the falseness of Donald Trump's statement on the facts. During President Obama's time, the United States has spent over $1 billion on the Iron Dome defense system for Israel and over $3 billion on the David Sling defense system that hasn't been released yet for Israel. So the idea that Obama, just because he and Prime Minister Netanyahu don't get along personally.
Right, exactly.
The idea that Obama has gone sideways on Israel is just not accurate.
Also, Lauren, it's also critically important to understand that President Obama has high approval ratings in Israel.
Well, he should.
And so it's not
he
so.
So given the amount of foreign aid that we give to Israel, given the amount of attention we give to Israel, like no other country. And then their president gets into conflicts, and then we have to come along and bail out and do Iron Dome and all that stuff. So that's what makes, as David just said, what Trump said so completely ridiculous. And see, the president of AIPAC is aware of that, as she should be. So the idea that somehow the president hasn't done anything for Israel, you got to be kidding me.
Well, also, you know? I mean, first of all, you clearly, it was extremely emotional. I mean, she was shaky.
Right.
I mean,
right.
At the end.
Right.
And then we did show you folks the whole statement. I mean, that was a long period of applause there.
Right.
For her comments. But yeah, it is controversial in that there are some people who are in AIPAC who want absolute, positively, completely, complete support for Israel. Mm-hmm. When also Donald Trump has talked about, well, I'm not necessarily going to take
right,
sides.
Right. Exactly.
So
like,
be neutral.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Donald Trump did a very good speech at AIPAC. It was well received, and I think that was more
except
the problem.
People outside protesting.
Right. But I mean, but the problem was for them. Donald Trump gave a very good speech at AIPAC, and it was warmly received, and they had to tamper down on that. And there is a large contingent of Jewish people, whom I very well know, who are upset with the relationship of President Obama and with Israel. And
there's also there's a large contingent that have a problem with Donald Trump speaking. And I met a few of them outside Verizon Center the other day, and they were not happy happy with the fact that he was allowed to speak, and they were protesting racism and bigotry. Yeah, so
for what it's worth, sorry,
you know, that got not a lot of press,
right?
And it should have gotten a lot more press, because as these conventions go, you kind of rarely see that.
Gotcha.
Let me just footnote one thing, Paris. I don't think his speech was that good. I mean, maybe it was well received in the hall. When he went on teleprompter, that's not the Trump brand. He's a freestyler, and having to speak teleprompter and speak about policy, I think really sort of diminishes what
he's. At least we know he can read. All right, folks, we'll talk about the primary results, but also later in the show, we'll talk to a young man who was barred from attending AIPAC, a black student at Morehouse, because he criticized Hillary Clinton. And Bill Clinton, what is he doing on the campaign trail? Slamming President Obama's legacy? Now the Clinton campaign doing some serious backtracking. We'll break all of that down right here on News One Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Those were a few pictures of President Barack Obama and his family during his historic trip to Cuba. This morning, he's waking up in Argentina. The president spent 3 days on the island of Cuba. On his final day, he attended the baseball game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban national team, as we said earlier. Before that, he met with Cuban dissidents and also delivered his final speech that was broadcast throughout the country. The president said he's extending a hand of friendship to Cuba, but he also emphasized his push to lift the U.S. trade embargo against Cuba and call for political reform.
I believe that every person should be equal under the law. Every child deserves the dignity that comes with education and health care and food on the table and a roof over their heads. I believe citizens should be free to speak their mind without fear, to organize and to criticize their government and to protest peacefully. And that the rule of law should not include arbitrary detentions of people who exercise those rights.
I believe in the Cuban people. This is not just a policy of normalizing relations with the Cuban government. The United States of America is normalizing relations with the Cuban people. Why now? There is one simple answer. What the United States was doing was not working. We have to have the courage to acknowledge that truth.
The president's address was the first time a sitting U.S. president's speech was broadcast to the Cuban people while on Cuban soil. Folks out west are getting a chance to participate in the presidential primaries. We'll start with the GOP results held in Arizona and Utah. Donald Trump won Arizona, and Senator Ted Cruz ...461, and Governor John Kasich... And also, Ted Cruz will get a big boost when Jeb Bush endorses him today. This is the last primary for the month of March on the GOP side. Now, on the Democratic side, Arizona. That brings the delegate total for Secretary Clinton. Needed for the Democratic nomination. More Democratic primaries will be held on Saturday in Alaska, Washington, as well as Hawaii. Police officers in California could soon be required to post detailed reports about officer-involved shootings on the state's website, as if California Attorney General Kamala Harris gets her wish. She's backing a bill that many critics are calling time-consuming. Under the proposal, departments will be required to post police reports on the from several four police departments. Since 2004, there have been 2,000 officer-involved shootings in Southern California alone. Only one officer was charged with a crime, and he was later acquitted. Several women suing Bill Cosby for defamation can now get access to files related to the criminal case against him. A federal judge in Philadelphia ruled the women can get access to the case files involving alleged victim Andrea Constand. Constand accused Cosby of sexual assault in 2005. She settled with Bill Cosby out of court, but in December, a new prosecutor charged Cosby with aggravated indecent assault. The women in the defamation case will not have access to the confidential settlement and other materials and do not pertain to the plaintiffs. Cosby has countersued the women, suing him for defamation, claiming the sexual misconduct accusations have caused emotional distress to him and his family. All right, folks, coming up on News One Now, there's a big effort underway to help black girls and women on Capitol Hill. We'll talk with New Jersey Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman about this new caucus. Plus, former President Bill Clinton calls President Obama's legacy awful. We'll talk about it with our panel up next. This is News One Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
This is Kalita Smith, and you can catch me on Sci-Fi Network on the show Z Nation. You are watching News One Now with Roland Martin on TV One.
If you don't believe we can all grow together again, if you don't believe we're ever going to grow again, if you believe it's more important to relitigate the past, there may be many reasons that you don't want to support. But if you believe we can all rise together, if you believe we've finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us and the 7 years before that when we were practicing trickle-down economics and no regulation in Washington, which is what caused the crash, then you should vote for her, because she's the only person who basically has good ideas, will tell you how she's going to pay for them, can be commander-in-chief, and is a proven change maker with Republicans and Democrats and independents alike.
Folks, that was former President Bill Clinton slamming President Obama while at a campaign rally in Spokane, Washington on Monday. The comment immediately set off a firestorm all over social media. Since then, Bill Clinton's spokesman claims the former president was referring to the GOP's obstruction of the president's agenda. So was his comments misinterpreted, or did Bill Clinton really feel that way? I'm going to break it down with our panel right now, Paris Renard, Lauren Victoria Burke, David Swertlick. So, your thoughts?
You know, Bill Clinton and Hillary don't like President Obama. I mean, this is true. This is what got him in trouble the first campaign. Put out President Clinton, and then he runs his mouth and then upsets black people. And they pull him back in and try to fix it. The truth is, this is really how they feel. They don't like President Obama. They're upset that, I think she was just upset that she even had to be the Secretary of State. She did it to get the foreign policy check mark so she could run again.
Yeah, but here's the deal, though. The fact of the matter is, the president did not have to choose her. The president could have chosen anyone else, and had he not chosen her, she would have gone back to the United States Senate, been a backbencher, if you will. They were prepared to, frankly, push her to the back. She was propped up, if you will, because they knew she was running for president. He actually saved her political career, picking her as Secretary of State.
It was a good political move, but, I mean, the Clintons are they play dirty and they fight dirty, and they still don't like them.
In some way, to that point, it's in some way she might have been better off staying in the U.S. Senate. She wouldn't have had the Benghazi thing to deal with. She would have been sort of politically warmed up in some of the fights over the last 8 years. In terms of President Clinton, though, either it's a mistake, either he's just lost his touch, or it was, as Paris is saying, his true feelings seeping out. Either way, in terms of the president, look, if the last awful 8 years is unemployment getting cut in half and the stock market doubling, Bill Clinton, what are you going to say?
The unemployment thing, if we just take African Americans, is problematic, okay, because he's the highest
unemployment for African Americans has gone from 15
right.
to 10.
It's the worst since Ronald Reagan.
I'm not applauding 10%, but if he started with 15 and it goes down to 10.
It's the worst since Ronald Reagan. And 38% of black children in poverty, 28% of African Americans are in poverty. And HBCUs have done terribly under this president. And Hillary Clinton has a specific HBCU funding plan, the type of which that Barack Obama did not have. So when people get misty-eyed about the last 8 years, I think they should think about African Americans specifically. And I know that Bill Clinton was not specifically talking about African Americans in the speech. However, there's some room for improvement, particularly when we think about the Bush tax cuts. You know, he said something about trickle-down economics.
There's a difference between awful and room for improvement, right? I don't disagree with you on room for improvement.
The Bush tax cuts, which could have expired in 2010 and in 2013, continued because this president didn't agree to let them expire.
Folks,
so that's problematic.
I want to go back to AIPAC, and that is, as a young man who was a student at Morehouse, Deshaun Harrison, he was supposed to attend AIPAC, but his credentials were revoked because he participated in a protest in Atlanta when Hillary Clinton spoke there. He joins us right now via FaceTime from Atlanta. Deshaun, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Just fine. So help me understand. So you were planning to attend AIPAC, their conference here in Washington, D.C.
Right.
But Because, so why did they pull your credential?
The reason they gave was because they were afraid that I would be, quote unquote, wasting my time. But that didn't come until after constant questioning of whether or not I was going to protest and what my views were, or no, me being very transparent about what my views were concerning the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And so what I know is that I was disinvited because of my interruption of Hillary Clinton and because of my views on the conflict.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand, first of all, why did you want to attend AIPAC?
Right.
So I think that there are several different ways to go about change, I guess you could say. And so my point of, or my purpose in attending AIPAC would have been to have conversations, to push back in conversations via the breakout sessions. To challenge the idea of what it means to be anti-Palestinian and pro-Israel.
So you wanted to, for that purpose, but do you believe that they didn't want you to be there because they were afraid that you would launch a similar protest like the one against Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah, I'm certain that's why they didn't want me there. I think that the person who called made that very clear when they did so. It was like the conversation changed after they found out, after they confirmed that I was one who disrupted Hillary Clinton.
So, first of all, I mean, how did that make you feel? I mean, for them to say you're wasting your time when it's actually your time to waste.
Right. Right. I honestly thought it was silly. Like, I laughed about it when I got the call because of the fact that I don't think that, one, is their decision to make whether or not I'm wasting my time. And I think that, two, it was very, I think that I would have taken it better if they had just been very straightforward about why they didn't want me to come, but they beat around the bush instead. And so that I thought was cowardly. And so when I heard it, it just, I I'm always going to be okay with missing out opportunities, as long as that means that the work that I do is making actual change. I think that proves it is.
Well, go to the panel here. What do you make of AIPAC's move here?
I think it was an unfortunate move because what I would have allowed him to come, and he might have learned something about their position that could have influenced him in a different manner. So you just miss an opportunity to engage with someone who has an active interest. And just because you disagree with them doesn't mean that you need to be excluded. But I guess the bigger question is, I wonder, Deshaun, if he can still hear us, does he now think that dissenting and interrupting Secretary Clinton was a good move because it cost him this opportunity?
Absolutely. I think that was a great move, and I'll never regret that. I think that was an important thing that we did, and it caused around the nation for folks to really look into Hillary Clinton's track record and for them to really recognize who she really is and how she's really treated Black and brown folks since the beginning of her political career. And so I will never regret that decision. I will never regret the opportunity. And I'd do it again if I had to.
All right, then. Deshaun, we still appreciate it, man. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, then. So, look, I mean, here's my whole deal, okay? So if you're afraid somebody's going to protest, first of all, anybody could have been there to protest.
Sure.
Anybody.
Right.
But to somehow act as if, oh, my God, you know, this is so wrong, you don't sit here and pull the credential. I mean, and here's the deal. If you're going to have dissenting opinions there, okay, right. That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with dissenting opinions, of course, but... I mean, if somebody shows up at the NAACP convention and their views are in contravention with what the NAACP stands for and they plan to protest, I wouldn't expect the NAACP to be like, okay, yeah, let's let this person... Well, you know what I'm saying?
First, you say if they plan to protest.
Okay, yeah.
There was no plan to protest.
Sure.
Now, if you can...
I mean, if you want to show up at somebody else's event and have the opposite views, you can't expect that they're going to be like, hey, come on and welcome. I mean, well, I'm not expecting that.
I think you make a good point, Lauren, about the NAACP. Right. It has to go for all national organizations. But that said, I do think, like Paris is saying, that there was a missed opportunity for AIPAC to say, let's just see if this guy gains anything. He's a young college student. And kudos to a young college student for having being politically active not just, socializing and hanging out like I probably did when I was in college, right? But also, I do think, though, that all these organizations, no matter what, whether it's a Trump rally, whether it's NAACP, whether it's AIPAC, have to be a little less sensitive about protests. As long as protesters are peaceful and as long as protesters follow the directions of law enforcement, that's part of America, is getting protested, and it's okay.
There's nothing wrong with actually having a counter view and having a conversation about it. Trust me, there are people who have different views, even at an NAACP convention, and some of them are members. So, okay.
I think the problem that AIPAC did is that they pulled his credential beforehand, assuming that he was going to do something based upon prior acts. And so what they should have done is allow him to come, and if he did interrupt and he was disruptive, then you pull him out respectively through security. But they didn't allow that to happen, which was a mistake.
Well, and again, that's one of the issues there. Real quick, Bernie Sanders, I was reading a tweet from Tony Harris, who's with Al Jazeera America, and he said that out of all the speeches, the one Bernie Sanders gave probably was the realest, if you will, when it came to what's happening in the Middle East.
The realist in what sense?
No, he's real and also authentic in terms of confronting what's happening there. He said, this is one of the things that I've heard from so many different people. Folks who go to AIPAC and it's pander.
True, right.
As opposed to having a real conversation. Bernie Sanders stands up and says, I'm sorry. We can sit here and talk about solving the crisis in the Middle East, but you can't keep sitting here building those settlements. You can't keep doing those things as if the folks on the Gaza Strip don't exist. And so Sanders, and also it's very interesting that the only Jewish candidate running for president, folks didn't pay any attention to actually his speech, but spent so much time on everybody else who spoke at AIPAC.
No, he didn't go. I think as a Jewish American, he may have a little bit of cover not to attend, in the same way that President Obama has had cover on a couple of occasions not to go to the NAACP.
But here's my point. My point, though, is a lot of folks in mainstream media pretty much ignored what Sanders had to say, his speech dealing with.
He's not seen as a foreign policy guy, though, Roland, right?
But do you think he would have given that
same speech? I'm sorry, is he running for president?
Do you think he would have given that same speech at AIPAC?
Yeah.
It's interesting that he didn't go to AIPAC and give that speech.
Yeah.
Say that in front
of the same point.
Yeah. I think he would have.
I think he would have.
But why? But I guess my thing is why didn't he then? He could have gone there and given the speech.
One thing he said, he had a scheduling conflict. Again, first of all, it took place on Monday. There was a caucus taking, and he did. Did he not win Utah?
He
was probably trying to focus on winning Utah versus the police AIPAC.
Right.
But again, I think this is one of those examples of if you want to have an honest conversation about what's happening there, and then African Americans have a different view on this in terms of how we view Palestinians, how we view Israelis, and this whole conflict. There are a lot of African Americans who also identify with who see the folks of the Palestinians as oppressed.
You know, Roland, to your point, this is one of the reasons why people are drawn to the Bernie Sanders campaign is because of his authenticity and saying what he believes, no matter what the audience is. And I think that's why people are so frustrated with career Washington, D.C. politicians, because they will go and they will pander and say whatever. This is why I think people are listening to what John Kasich is saying when it comes to Medicare expansion. He said, you know, I expand it because when I stand before Peter, he's going to judge me on what I did for the least of these. So I think there's a lot of people that are looking towards candidates who are going to say what they believe from their heart and be authentic. And that's a problem for Hillary Clinton.
I agree with you on the authenticity point. But here's the thing. We were talking earlier about President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. Most people trace back the friction between them to President Obama starting out his presidency saying, okay, first step one, let's stop settlements in the West Bank and things going from there. Bernie Sanders is essentially calling for something very similar to what President Obama called for in 2009. And look how far that got him. So I'm not going to give Senator Sanders too much credit for bringing up something that's been brought up and has already sort of been.
I'm going to give him credit for having a real speech and a real conversation, because whether we want to own up to it or not, there is a serious belief in this country that the United States bends over too far to satisfy Israel. And when you have Netanyahu, who frankly broke protocol and came to the United States to speak to a joint session of Congress to stop the Iran deal, I'm sorry, that's crossing a line. And to your point earlier, Lauren, folks are saying, wait a minute, Israel, we've done this for you.
Right.
And it's as if there's any disagreement, all of a sudden, and some folks we've been trying to call the president an anti-Semite, because he took a differing point of view.
Yes, yeah, Sanders is in a unique situation because obviously he's the only Jewish candidate in this. So I think part of it is that he can say, just as we were talking about with Barack Obama, the NAACP, or that comparable right. example. Sure. But the very fact that he even was critical of Israel is sort of revolutionary, right? Because everybody else walks in there and says exactly what they want to hear. Right, exactly. That is pretty amazing, actually. He should have gotten more press, but he noticed it didn't get too much attention.
Of course not. Mm-hmm. I wonder why. That's what you're dealing with. I'm just saying, sometimes you got to go ahead and call like you see it. All right, folks, coming up next, one congresswoman is trying to make it her mission to help black girls and women while on Capitol Hill. We'll talk about a new caucus that specifically targets sisters. Also, we're bringing the funk in our Wild Now segment. Folks, all of that next on News 1 Now TV.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Folks, there are a ton of caucuses, task force, and other organizations on Capitol Hill, some 430, yet there's not a single one that specifically focuses on black women and girls. Well, New Jersey Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman wants to change that. She has helped create the Congressional Caucus on Black Women and Girls. It will be the first caucus devoted to public policy that eliminates significant barriers for black women and black girls. I sat down with Congresswoman Coleman on yesterday to talk about this new effort.
Well, I mean, just like we are looking at our Brothers Keeper as a focus on young black men, young and old, actually, and what happens to them in our society, we have not done this for women. And so we've seen that young women, older women have been subjected to a lot of disparities, whether it's educational, economic, social, you name it, healthcare, all of those issues, as well as having been victims of violence, assault, rape, and even brushes with law enforcement. And I remember most recently being at a summit for the Progressive Caucus, and a professor said, raise your hand, everyone raise their hand. And she started going through these names of women. And she said, now, when you no longer know who this woman is, put your hand down. And so at the end of her discussion, she was discussing women who had had experiences, bad experiences with law enforcement. And we recognized right in that audience how few people really knew the majority of the women whose names she had called out. And we had been talking about the fact that no one really focuses on our voices when they're discussing public policy. No one just sort of calls out and reminds us that we need to put some extra focus on access to health care. You know, we're felled to diseases much more so than any other demographic. Yet we're counted on in so many areas to be dependable and to show up, whether it's political involvement or whatever. And so on the one hand, we've got the issue of disparities and the need to address women's needs and to raise their voices in public debate and discussion. And on the other side of it, we need to showcase more women who are tremendously accomplished, because black women are accomplishing a lot. And our young women in particular need to see them as examples, not just the first lady, who is a marvelous example, but women in all areas of economic and educational.
So for folks who don't know how Capitol Hill works, so explain, what will the caucus actually do? Will it be a formal organization? Will it be? So just explain exactly what is it?
Mm-hmm. It is going to be a formal organization. It is going to be a recognized caucus. It will have an agenda. It will reach out to women's groups and scholars and activists. It will set up opportunities to discuss and explore. We will be working with a number of women's organizations that inspired us to even think about this. Some of the sororities, hashtag She Woke, organizations of that nature. And we'll look at a range of issues. We want to just start highlighting the best and the challenge and the opportunities that exist and should be focusing on young black women.
So who gets to be a member? Because with Congressional Black Caucus, obviously, only black caucus members, even though you have some members who represent majority black districts like Congressman Steve Cohen of Memphis, he can't be in the CBC. So who gets to be in this caucus?
Well, we're sending out an invitation to anyone who is interested in being in this caucus.
Open to any member of Congress.
Anybody who is interested in this issue will not be precluded from participating if they're earnestly engaged and desirous of participating. We're not a black caucus. We are a caucus on black women and black girls.
What specifically do you hope to see result from this, that is our public policy?
Mm-hmm. Well, we look at things on the education area. You know, this whole drop in the pipeline from education to criminal justice system. We want to look at the impact of practices and approaches and responses to young girls and young women. We see that young girls in school are suspended to a greater degree than any other cohort. We want to raise those issues, but we also want to raise issues on healthcare disparities, on pay equity, on job opportunities. You know, black women are so vitally important to raising our families. We want to make sure that we discuss those things and give them the greatest opportunity based upon their ability and their capability, not their gender and not their race.
I'm sitting here. First of all, we saw it took place in November, where the White House, their initiative on women and girls, announces $118 million initiative partnering with various foundations. Mm-hmm. That's one aspect. But the reality is, once the president leaves, the question then becomes what happens to those initiatives. The difference here, Congress is here, members are there. This goes beyond just one person's tenure in Congress.
Absolutely. And this establishes the caucus. It'll establish some premises for the caucus, and then people will be able to expand it. And because, as we know, as we look into these issues, we will grow and we will expand, and it will ensure that there is this permanent entity that will address issues that are focusing on us as black women and our unique experience.
Somebody wants to get involved wherever they are, the organization, how can they do so?
Well, they can do it a number of ways. I can tell you, just go online and reach out to my office in Congress down here in D.C. Call us at 202-225-5801. Let us know you're interested. We're launching on the last week in April, and hopefully people will hear much more of what's to come.
All right, Congresswoman Bonnie Watson-Coleman, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, coming up next, time to get wild for a Wild and Out Wednesday. We got our three comedians in the house. Are they actually comedians? I think two of them are. One might not be. Break it down for you next.
We're
sure to go to news1.com. I think one of them is a bootleg comedian. Go to news1.com for more updates. You can also hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at Roland S. Martin, the one from Africa. Or go to News1 as well, or go to our News1 Facebook page. 11 before the hour, we'll come back with this Pee Wee Herman bow tie guy right here.
Oh,
next on News1 Now on TV1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, y'all, birthday shout-out time. Hey, it's a live show. Stop talking. Okay, thank you very much. Head coach of Milwaukee Bucks, Jason Kidd, he turns 43. Singer Chaka Khan, she turns 63 years old on this day in the history of 1873. Slavery is abolished in Puerto Rico. In 1916, Pan-Africanist Marcus Garvey arrives in the United States from Jamaica. In 1971, the Reverend Walter Fontrell becomes the first non-voting delegate in the House of Representatives from D.C. since Reconstruction. Folks, hip-hop legend Five Dog from the Tribe Called Quest has died. According to DJ Chuck Chillout's Twitter post, Malik Taylor, also known as the 5-Foot Assassin, has been battling health problems for years, fighting type 1 diabetes, which he developed in 1990. A Tribe Called Quest, of course, is hip-hop royalty and greatly respected by countless fans around the world. No details surrounding his exact cause of death have yet been revealed. Twitter's already filled with heartfelt feelings for Five. Rapper Chuck D tweeted, "Five hip-hop and rap word warrior, simple as that. Breathe it and line rhymes into sport and true fire, social narrator, my bro." Swiss Beats, rest in peace. King, hashtag Five Dog, hashtag Tribe. Thanks for the epic vibes. And of course, rapper Big Sean tweeted, rest in peace, Five Dog. Mm-hmm. So condolences go out to his family. Folks, it's Wednesday. Time for our Wildin' Out segment with our comedians. Joining me right now is Doug Scott. Doug, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Roland?
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Ms. Gale.
Hello, Ms. Gale.
I'm tired of meeting people who know you. Like, you got my friend, Ms. Gale, on your show.
No, they love
some
me.
Some loud ghetto friends.
That's
and, of
all
course,
right.
We have Dulo. Is it Dulo?
It's Dulo. Good morning, America, Africa, whoever's watching. Roland
gotcha.
Martin, good morning to you, too, and your half-baked
croissant. Well, first of all, so I'm sorry.
Did you finish? Why didn't you finish your change or your tangerine?
First of all, I'm all here. Now, look,
you're not all here.
Just because you're not all here.
I'm not going to let you do this today, Dulo.
First of all, let's just cut to the chase. You keep coming on the show acting like you actually from Africa. You know doggone well you from Brooklyn. But you come on here acting like you actually came.
Oh, we're not all from Africa.
Last week you came. That's my problem. Dulo.
I've never told you I came from Africa.
No, Dulo, we actually checked. There you go. Hold up. Say it again.
I was born in New Jersey.
There you go.
Everyone knows that.
Last time
America
you came,
knows that.
Y'all,
America knows that.
Last time
Dulo
came.
What happened was last time he was here, though.
He was talking about from the homeland and my history.
And I always do.
And I was like, okay.
So
then I was talking to one of my book because I said, well, you know, find out how long Dulo been here. They like, Roland.
They Googled him. They said, Roland.
You can Google me, yes.
They said, on time he been in Nigeria, he's on Google Earth. They said, that boy been there.
I said, wow.
I thought he was born and raised in Africa.
I was raised in Africa, so don't get it
twisted.
Hold on, stop. I was raised in Africa.
You were raised in Africa?
Yes, sir.
You said New Jersey.
I was born in New Jersey, man. You don't have to be born to be raised in New Jersey.
Okay, so you were born in New Jersey.
And raised in Africa, yes, sir. And it doesn't make sense now.
No, it doesn't make sense at all.
Calm down, fellas.
I'm just trying to get this world traveling together.
No, we knew he was going to do that. I love it, though. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Country.
I'm from Lagos, Nigeria, man. Okay. Lagos, Nigeria, yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever been?
Lagos is a city. Nigeria is a country.
You said which country?
You're going to ask me where in Nigeria.
You're going to ask me where.
I was just checking.
Lagos, Nigeria, brother. That was bad. Good one, though.
My head is
still confused.
I like it, though, man.
I'm still confused. Don't be confused. I'm just making sure.
There's nothing to be confused about, man.
Because these days, folks trying to get some African street credibility.
There's nothing.
I have plenty of African street credibility. You ain't fronting.
I have plenty of street credibility, but make sure you get your.
Yes.
I want to give you something, man.
What is that?
Got something for you. T-shirt, opening that restaurant I was telling you about the last time I was on the show. SDS Soul Food. We in there.
Okay, Doug.
Gumbo.
He gonna go.
Yeah, open it up.
That's a small logo.
Turn it over in the back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Okay,
I got the screen print. I got it. Okay. So, SDS Soul Food. So damn soulful. Where is the restaurant?
23520 Overland Drive, Dulles, Virginia.
It actually opened?
Yes, we opened April 2nd. It's already open in Sweet Cakes Bakery and Cafe right now.
So what y'all serving?
Everything.
Okay, what y'all serving? You ain't serving everything.
Food, curry, jerk, yo gumbo.
Do you have any fufu? Because I'll be there. They got some Nigerian okra, whatever you like. Collard greens. I'm catering, and I'll be there for it too. He's got ethnic collard greens.
Yeah, shout out to my mom. She's my number one fan. I let her know.
Okay, all right, hold up. So first of all, you brought a t-shirt here with your restaurant, so you got a free commercial. And then you also try and shout your mama out.
She told me.
Okay.
To do it.
Your mama your
mama told me I had to do it. Like, put me out, but I had to do that.
I had to do it.
So who you trying to shout out?
I want to shout out my mom, my dad, but sorry, I have the earrings on. When I get home, please don't slap me. No, I don't live at home. I was waiting for that.
They should smack your ass right now.
Why?
I mean,
why
how you going to sit here and then say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry, I got earrings on.
You got to apologize.
Gail.
I got to shout. I have a best buddy who gets up 5 o'clock in the morning just to watch Roland Martin Show in Denver, Colorado. Her name is Marcus Price. Leroy gets up in Kansas to watch
Her name is Marcus?
Marcus Price.
Marcus Price. I thought you said Marcus.
Marcus.
Okay, gotcha.
Marcus Price. I call her my tater girl because you know I'm country. So she gets up 5 o'clock.
Your tater girl?
Tater.
What's she make? Tater tots? What?
Don't you go there.
What is a tater girl?
But hey, she gets up 5 o'clock in the morning to see you, so she loves you.
No, I'm asking, what's a tater girl?
That's my friend, tater girl. That's who she is.
What is tater?
That's her nickname,
tater,
man.
A tater. You
like a tater top, man, like a hash brown.
Like, yeah, oh, a potato.
Yeah, potato.
Damn. He knew that, though.
So you,
potatoes
so,
make taters.
So y'all was
when
so
you peel them, they taters.
Y'all was so broke, y'all couldn't say potato. Y'all just cut the tater.
When you peel the peelings off, they taters.
Yes.
You take the pee out, the peelings is the pee. And after that, you got the tater.
All right, we'll come back to the Food Network in just a moment.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Gail, hold on, Gail. So Marquise, who is Tater, mm-hmm. What she call you?
Miss Hambone. Yes.
Gail, how country are you?
Just as country as four rows of cabbage. Just, and I love it. My dream car is a Ford F-150 pickup truck. I'm country. Proud of it, Roland.
You country with a K.
With the cap of the K. Country.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a garden in your front yard?
In the front yard.
In the
with
front
yard. Flags in there. I got the little, yeah. With the taters, you know, with the little label say taters.
How about the tie painted white? How about the tie painted white?
Courage with a K.
Yams. Oh, yes. So what's your favorite thing to cook?
Why are you looking at you like that?
Collard greens.
Ooh,
he's looking at Miss Gail like
oh, he look,
like,
oh,
yeah. I know he knows some country.
All right, y'all, we got 5 seconds left, so I'm going to let them keep talking country.
Can I tell you about the show I got this weekend?
You can't, because you got 2 seconds. Holla, because you talk about country
Friday
too much.
Night.
I am doing
the first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.